Welcome to the Playful Spirituality Podcast, a place to reconnect to spirit, to reclaim your unbridled wildness, and to bring you home to you. I'm Kara Viana, and I'm honored to be on this adventure with you. This is a place to discover your magic and your superpowers. And yes, you definitely have them. It's designed to tap you into the unconditional love and support flowing to you, and to help you access that wild, unbridled joy that we so often lose touch with. You can expect all sorts of resources, from spiritual and practical tools and teachings to guided meditations and energy healing. We'll have some special guests and even some live readings. This show is for all of us who are humaning, to help you navigate this ride of life. If you are open to a little more support, more ease, a broader connection to the universe and to yourself, then stay tuned and find out what might be possible with an infusion of playful spirituality. Aloha, my friends. Excited to be here with you today. Whenever we start an episode, I always think about what I wonder what I'm doing with you today. Like, are we in the grocery store, picking up some things for dinner? Are you like on that elliptical bike thingy bob at the gym? What are we up to? I want to tell you about something that happened to me that is just like a skosh embarrassing. Just a tiny bit. Not too much because I talk about things like this, but just a little bit because I feel like of the people who like should know better, if anyone should, which they shouldn't, but if they did, I'd be in that camp. And the reason I'm going to tell you this story is because I think a lot of people will be able to relate to it. And I think it's going to help with the point that I want to get across today. So in the last couple of months of this past year, so we're in just a month or so into the new year. And in the last couple of months of closing out of last year, I slipped into what I'm going to say is reacting to life versus creating life. And what I mean by that is, well, here's the symptoms, okay? Here's what started to happen. I first started to notice it in people's reflections back to me. So a couple of times it happened where Brendan and I were kind of butting heads, not big disagreements, just the like natural, you know, coming out of fatigue and exhaustion with a new baby and sleeplessness that can happen sometimes where you're both just drained and you kind of rub up against each other's crankiness for a minute. And in that, there were a couple times where he reflected something like, well, you're just not even happy, or you're just so unhappy, or something like that. And I was kind of like dumbfounded. Of course, I'm saying the same thing to him because we're both just moping around like these sleep-deprived zombies. But I was surprised to hear that from him because I was like, no, I'm so happy. I'm so full of gratitude, and we have this amazing new baby, and we have our love, and we live in the dream place, and like everything is so amazing in our lives. And when I felt that reflection come from him, not just verbally, but like I felt him notice, you know, he starts to get sort of drugged down. These are my words, not his, but I notice he sort of deflates or gets frustrated or is less excited about life when he thinks I'm unhappy for periods of time, not just for a, you know, a day. So I started to wonder what's going on in what I'm putting out in the world, right? Like, is my internal landscape not really being reflected? What's up here? Am I just so tired that I'm not showing that I'm happy? There's definitely some of that going on. And also, then I started to wonder, like, where is my joy? And if you've heard me talk about joy before, it's an important thing to me, because having lived through clinical depression for a handful of years, I lived with that profound absence of joy. And when you experience the profound absence of joy, your commitment the commitment that is born out of that, the desire, the potent desire that is born out of that for joy is so much greater than if you hadn't experienced the absence of it to that extreme. So my adult life really has been so much a building, a creating of joy, a cultivation of joy on purpose. And so I had these moments where I was stopping to wonder, like, wait a minute, where'd joy go? When was the last time I was in pure joy? And I think about what does really, really ecstatic joy feel like to me? You know, that kind of joy like you see in little kids where they're like so happy that they can't help but skip to get from point A to point B. Like it bubbles out of them. And I have had that as an adult in this effervescent way where the joy is so big that I'm positively buzzing with it. I couldn't stop smiling if you paid me. I couldn't sluggishly walk around if you paid me to. I have to skip and dance and sparkle my way through the day. And I'm not saying I live that way all the time, of course. And there are definitely periods where I don't tap into that very frequently. And that is what I had fallen into. And I looked around and I was like, what's going on? Is this, well, okay. So a big part of it, yes, of course, postpartum hormones are no fucking joke. And sleep deprivation is a torture device for a reason. So that's a big part of it, of course. But another part of it is I really had to sit down and say, like, wait a second, Kara. And I have had moments in life where my higher self will say to me, like, you know better than this. Very lovingly, but she's like, you know better than this. Meaning, you know how to fucking create joy. You know how to, on purpose, be the captain of your life. And you're just not doing it. You're just sitting back, and most people, most of the time, do it this way. We just react to the life that's in front of us. That's normal. I see a thing, and then I have a thought about that thing, and it causes me to have an emotion. And that's just how we sort of roll through our day like a fucking pinball. Oh, this I like. Oh, this I don't like. I'm bumping up against this that I kind of like, and this that I don't like. And this makes me sad, and this makes me happy. And being an extremely sensitive person, an empath or highly sensitive person to the max that I am, that's a, am I going to go for it and use the word dangerous? It's a bit of a dangerous place to be for empaths to just be in that truly reactionary state where we're not actually on purpose creating. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by that, but where we're just pinballing around because we're picking up so much of what everyone else is feeling. So a lot of what you're reacting to is really just other people's shit. Okay, well, I walked into a room and that person's happy and that person's exhausted and that person is stressed and that person's nervous and that person's awkward and I'm just pinballing around between all of these things and what the fuck am I even feeling? So part of that as an empath, as a sensitive person, is learning how to have healthy boundaries and protection up. And I don't mean walls and I don't mean shutting the world out, but I mean learning how to filter that energy so you're not reacting all the time to other people's stuff. And then just for all of us, learning how to create our lives on purpose. So when I was really starting to think like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And my higher self's giving me that little nudge like, Kara, you know how to do this. And because I have 2.5 decades of experience working on these things, I do really know how to do this. And it is easy for me to kick it back into gear when I realize that I've just gotten completely lazy and I'm not doing anything to create. And rarely do I fall this far off the wagon, but you know, I'm in a whole nother reality than I've ever been in before. And if you are in the same boat, let's not beat ourselves up. Let's normalize this. Misalignment is a normal and necessary and mandatory part of humaning. So because your goal was to come here in human, remember, your higher self is applauding all of the humaning that you're doing. So your misalignment is currently being applauded by your higher self. I promise you, that's how it works. So please, no beating ourselves up. And also, alignment feels good and misalignment feels like dog shit. So let's try to be in alignment more often than not. Now, what does alignment feel like to me? We've talked, I think, on the podcast before, let's hope so, about what alignment is. And when I talk about it, what I mean is you and your higher self being on the same page. And it feels to me like when I talk about really big alignment, like we're really like that honed in, super, super, super connected together feeling. And I don't just mean because I did some energy work and like my higher self and I got really joined up, although that also is alignment to me. But also when we're really just on the same page, which to me is a very obvious and I know because I feel so good. Sometimes misalignment, which is so crummy feeling, when you're really hopeless, when you're really grouchy, when you're really looking around and thinking like this is a shitty, scary place to live, this world, and people are terrible and I'm afraid or I'm angry or whatever. When you're having these kind of feelings, this is misalignment because your higher self is thinking and doing a different thing, which is again, normal. When I have that and then I come back into alignment, when I return back to the knowledge and the knowing and the feeling that actually everything is perfect in this moment, in all of its fucked up glory, this human experience is what we came here to do. The whole thing. When I come back into that knowledge in one way, shape, or form, consciously, unconsciously, whatever, but I zing back into that place, it feels like a joygasm. It feels like coming home, and there's oftentimes, if it happens quickly, there's tears for me. I think I cried in every single meditation for the first 10 years I meditated because it would be a coming back into alignment for me. It still happens much of the time when I close my eyes, and I sit down and I begin my energy work processes and I plug in and I zing back into that place of alignment and tears well up in my eyes. And they're tears of joy. They're tears of connection. They're tears of God, of universe, of connection. And there just aren't words. So I'm making some other words try to mean this. You're welcome. So alignment feels good. And sometimes there's alignment that isn't a big, huge feeling, but when I return to it, it's usually a pretty good feeling. It's bigger, especially if I've been feeling crappy and I zing back there. It's relief at the very least. So what did I do? What do I do when I go through a period where I realize I haven't been creating my life on purpose? The first thing is I change my fucking mind. I go, oh yeah, I'm living in a completely disempowered place, just reacting to life. And I just in that moment go, wait, no. Of all people, I know I'm the creator of my reality. I have seen it. I have all the proof. I have all the evidence. I have talked to thousands of higher selves. I have had these conversations with spirit and non-physical. I know in my bones. So all I have to do is remember, oh, fuck, yeah. I just got to create my reality again. I just got to get back in the driver's seat instead of, I mean, if a car was going down the street and you weren't even in the fucking car, you weren't even in the car where you could tell the driver, I want to go this way. You're just on like a skateboard behind it, grabbing onto the bumper. You have zero control over where this car goes versus you being in the driver's seat going like, yep, left turn. Here we go. I want to go up that way. We're headed to the beach. I want to drink a coconut, whatever. So first thing I do is I change my mind. And all it takes is that realization for me. Oh yeah, this is what's happening. Okay, time to come back into my alignment and back into the driver's seat. And I have so many practices and I know how to find the ones that will fit in the moment with the life that I've got going on. I'm probably not going to sit and do 4 hours of journaling a day. Okay, I never did 4 hours of journaling on a regular basis, but I'm not going to do something like that when I've got a baby. That's not very realistic, but there are things that I can be doing with a baby that make it that are very easy. So I get back into my place of power. And we did a practice on the podcast, and I'll link it here in the show notes. It was a practice on taking your power back. So, and this is an energy work meditation practice. So if you are in a place where you're nodding your head and you're like, yeah, 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 Kara, I'm that. I'm out of alignment. I'm not creating my life. But then when you hear me say like, just change your mind and just jump right back in. And you're like, what the fuck? I'm too far out there. It's not a normal, just jump back into it thing for me. Or gee, I'd like a little help. I got you. On one of the podcasts, I took you through a guided practice for bringing your power back and doing the energetic practice. So I'm going to link it in the show notes. And that's a great place to start. Because when we're just reacting to life, we're giving our power away to everything around us, right? When you're whipping behind that car, who has the power? The driver, the car, even the skateboard or the ground beneath you that's going to smack your face at some point. You are not the one in the place of power. Except that maybe, I guess, you're holding on. You're still here. You've got it. So this will help get you back in the driver's seat. So I change my mind. I take my power back. And then I begin my practices. And I have a whole laundry list of practices. I have an entire course. I have many courses made up of the practices that I use. We did a whole course called Manifestation Magic. And really, the entire course is ways to bring yourself back into alignment to create everything you want in your life. And you could use the course to create like a new car and $1 million and a dream relationship. But truly what you're doing is creating joy, peace, ecstasy. You're creating the way you want to feel, the life you want to live that will make you feel the way you want to feel, a life that aligns with the feelings you want to feel. And it's full of all the practices, and they're designed to meet you wherever you are. You know, there's a practice for every situation in there. So if you want to dive into something bigger, that's what I recommend. I want to give you a couple very simple things, though, right now. I'm going to do three different things, very, very simple things. And I'm going to try because I'm not sitting with you and seeing and feeling exactly where you're at. So I'm going to throw like a broad net and hope that we can get everybody in this net with us. Okay. Number one, always number one, meditate. Meditate. And you don't need to have an hour-long meditation practice. You don't need to sit still. You don't need to close your eyes. You don't need to know how to meditate. There is a form of meditation to meet anyone, I believe, where they're at. The meditation that I've been doing, that I started to get myself back into all of this, and honestly, I didn't even have to force myself to do it. Because once I changed my mind and realized what was happening, the inspiration started to come. And now I just sometimes remind myself, and sometimes it happens naturally. But I plugged it in and I said, when on earth am I going to be able to sit to meditate with a baby and the constant babying, hardcore momming? Well, when I breastfeed. So I do a little meditation when I breastfeed. And before you go thinking like, wow, that's so productive of you and you're so, I don't know, whatever you might think about that. I do a quick meditation. It doesn't take me long at all. And then I fucking play on my phone. So, you know, if you need it to feel normal, there you go. Then I go back to goofing off. The meditation that I do is a really powerful one and it takes a couple of minutes. And we teach it in Master Your Magic. I have a guided, simplified version on the website. So just go to the website and plug in your email address to get on the email list. And there will be a guided version of it there. Or you can email us. If you're already on the list and you can't find that meditation, send us an email. But here, I'm going to talk you through one really quickly that's very simple. So one thing that you can do is you can, and if it feels okay to close your eyes, this is a fun one to close your eyes for. Close your eyes and see if you can do 10 breaths. And I want you to think about this as meditating your way into a miracle. And I'm using miracle in the broad sense here. We're looking for tiny miracles to start because it's a practice. Looking for miracles is a practice. And then you start to find them, then you can see them everywhere when you get good at it. So close your eyes. See if you can take 10 breaths. And if you're feeling kind of revved up or anxious and they're 10, like kind of breaths, that's fine. It's fine. It's perfect. You're doing great. And if they start to mellow out, you can take a couple of those kind of breaths. Awesome. No judgment. No self-judgment. It's great. Breathe 10 times. Just notice your breath 10 times. And then when you open your eyes, do so with the intention, with the attempt that I'm going to look around for a miracle. And literally in the seat you're sitting in, I want you to open your eyes and I want you to look around the room. Look out the window. Right now I'm looking out the window and I can see the sun filtering through a tree and hitting a flower. And that flower is the brightest orange. I mean, it is like reflector orange. And it caught my eye so powerfully when I just turned just now and looked out the window. And those are the kind of little miracles I want you to look for. And those are the moments of you and your higher self recognizing something at the same time in appreciation. And it feels so good. And you're going to get so good at it. When you're grounded and in your body, the world starts to look like Technicolor. Instead of being a zombie and walking around sort of like out of your body halfway, like most people do most of the time, when you get really in your body for that moment and you look at the world, it's different. So try that one. If you can, go outside to do it. So much easier, I think, to see the miracles when you're in nature. Practice number two. And this is, I want you to practice gratitude. But if gratitude isn't the thing, if what you're desperately needing to feel is peace, then I want you to practice peace. If what you're desperately needing to feel is hope, then I want you to practice hope. If you don't have a thing that you're desperately wanting to feel, gratitude is the way to go. I think that there is a lot of power in our hands writing something down. So my recommendation, number one recommendation, is that you get a notebook and you write down three things a day that you're grateful for. And I have a girlfriend who, my dear friend Ruby, and many years ago, I was going through a breakup and she was going through law school. And she reached out to me and she said, "Hey, I think we should do gratitude journals together in email." And so each day for years, she and I emailed each other three things we were grateful for. And there were days when the best thing we could come up with is like, "I didn't run anyone over today. I'm grateful for post-it notes." And then there were days where we could gush about something. It doesn't matter. See if you can write down three things a day. It's powerful if you can do it written. But there's another practice if that's definitely not going to happen. And that is when you're laying in bed at night, instead of falling asleep in whatever way you do, watching TV, for me, I love audiobooks. It's so fun to have somebody tell me a bedtime story to fall asleep to. But whatever way it is, instead of doing that, see if you can fall asleep listing out the 10 best things that happened that day. The challenge of this is it's easy to get distracted. It's much harder to get distracted when you're writing. But what I really like about this practice, it's especially great for if you think, "Oh, I think I might have a hard time falling asleep." I, for one, have never made it to 10 as many times as I've done this practice. And sometimes it's because I get distracted and then I bring myself back and I'm like, "Okay, what number was I on? Okay, I think I made it to 3. Okay, here we go." But I'm pretty sure I've fallen asleep before 10 every time I've done it. And it makes you fall asleep in a really good vibration. And there's a whole lot of reason behind gratitude. But the very, very simple explanation is law of attraction is reading and responding to your vibration, your energy. And when you're in the energy of life fucking sucks, or when you're in the energy of anger, hopelessness, like blah, that's what is reflecting back to you. That's what's getting created for you. That's what you're inadvertently ordering from the kitchen. You walk in and you sit down and you're like, "Fuck, today sucks." And like the waiter overhears you and they're like, "Okay, well, she wants a lot more. Today sucks. So bring some more things that are going to make today suck." Now, like, you're going to walk outside the restaurant and some car is going to go by and splash you with a mud puddle. And then your fucking key that remotely unlocks your car, the battery's dead. So now you can't get in the fucking car. And then da 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 da, right? But when you sit down and you practice gratitude, puts you in a place of, well, big surprise, gratitude. And then the waiter's like, hey, to the kitchen, more things to be grateful for at table 4. Life begins to bring you more things that will cause that same feeling in you. And wouldn't you like to have more things to feel grateful for throughout your day? Okay, practice number 3 is set your intentions. And you could do this at the beginning of your day. Again, I think written is powerful. I am a big fan of setting a journal next to the toilet because you're going to have to pee when you wake up in the morning. And don't even lie, you know we all just look at our smartphones when we're on the toilet. So set a journal there instead. Open it up and write out your intention real quick for the day. Abraham has this awesome practice they call segment intending. And the practice goes like this. You break your day out into segments and you pause real quick on your way from one segment into another and you set an intention for how you want it to go. So for example, I was about to come in here and record this podcast. The baby's taking a nap. My partner has the monitor. On my way in here, wouldn't it have been smart if I had set the intention? I'd like to really enjoy this podcast. I'd like it to flow through me. I'd like to be connected to spirit while I'm speaking. I'd like the recording software to go really good. And I would like it to be something that uplifts people. Oh, what a great intention, yeah? When I'm done here, I'm going to go breastfeed the baby when he wakes up. That's another little segment. So I could set my intention. My intention is that we both thoroughly enjoy the connection of breastfeeding and that when he latches on, it's comfortable. And that we have a lovely meditation, the two of us, during that time. Then after that, what are we going to do? We're probably going to go play for a while and then he's going to have dinner. And so then maybe I set an intention for that. And they could be really, really simple intentions. If you've ever been into a yoga class and at the beginning of the yoga class, you come in and the teacher says, okay, let's set your intention for your practice. And your intention could be simple, like I want to feel good. I want to feel refreshed. I'm setting the intention for peace. So maybe it's a one word intention you're setting at these different segments. And the only challenge to that segment intending is remembering to do it throughout the day. So I want to set you up for success in trying this. And I want to say, if you can remember to segment intend 2 times, if in a single day you can remember it twice, you won. If you can remember to do it once, that's 50%. That's pretty fucking good. So what I don't want is for you to get to the end of the day or 5 days later and you're like, fuck, I meant to do that. I blew it. There were like 100,000 segments and I didn't do it. And then you beat yourself up and now we've just taken you in the wrong direction. So that's not allowed. What kind of intention setting can you do that feels doable? Is it once in the morning? Is it a little note that you tape to your steering wheel when you get into your car that says intend your day? Actually, I think I'm going to do that. Thanks. Great, great plan, guys. Because when we get into our car, you'll see it and you'll pause and you'll go, oh, I intend a really, really great day today. I intend lots of connection and laughter. I intend today to be refreshing or whatever it is. Maybe at least you intend your drive to work. I want to leave you with a couple of things to help you to continue on this vein. So there's a masterclass that we did called Not Your Mama's Manifestation, and it's free. And I'm going to put a link in the show notes so that you can go get it. It's really, really juicy. It's one of our most popular masterclasses. People really, really loved it. If you want to learn more about some of this, like creating your life on purpose, I dive into it and we did a whole little series of episodes around manifestation, which really to me is just the creating of your life on purpose. So I'm going to link those in the show notes too, so you have more to listen to. And I would love to know if you're willing to reach out on all the platforms, I don't care how, and let me know if you have felt this feeling of reacting to life recently. Have you been in the same boat as me at some point here? And Are you willing to try one of these three things, or maybe all of them? And then if you do try them, I want to know how it goes. All right. So much love, my friends. Deep bow of gratitude to you, my friends, for showing up for yourself and taking the time for this experience. If you enjoyed this, and I hope you did, it would mean so much to me if you would write a positive review. And please share this with your friends who you think might enjoy it. My team has set up some free presents for you, including a guided meditation, an energy healing, and a sneak peek into one of my programs. So go to caraviana.com to download those. And be sure to keep your ears open. The doors to Master Your Magic Intuitive Development School are opening again very soon. With deepest love, cheers to all that you are.